In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, June 1st, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. 31 are dead, 10 missing, 350 houses were completely submerged, and 155 roads closed in what the National Weather Service is calling a 200-year flood for north-central Texas and Oklahoma. 1,000 lightning strikes were recorded in Houston, Texas alone in one wave of the deadly storms, and last night, another torrent dumped more than 3 inches of rain. One report said, enough rain has now fallen in the area to cover the entire United States in 3 inches of water. May God have mercy on the people of this region, and may God's people rally as they always do when help and encouragement is needed from sudden disaster. Meteorologists are saying there is light at the end of this dark tunnel as the president declares much of the area a disaster. While the people of the southwestern U.S. pray for the rain to stop, many on the other side of the world are praying that it comes. The people of southern India look to coming thunderstorms to save them from a raging heat wave that has left more than 2,200 dead. Temperatures as high as 116 degrees have plagued two southern Indian states since mid-April. According to Matthew 5:45, it is God who sends the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. In other news from that region, India's prime minister speaks out amidst Christian persecution heating up day after day. A crime wave against Christian schools has armed guards and city police ensuring the safety of attendees. Prime Minister Narendra Modi said, quote, government will not allow any religious group belonging to the majority or the minority to incite hatred against others overtly or covertly. Mine will be a government that gives equal respect to all religions, unquote. Sadly, after Modi's address, the attacks continued, which included the rape of an elderly nun, West Bengal. Several schools were threatened and others vandalized. In Noah's day, more than 4,000 years ago, a great flood may have trapped five little fish, now being called one of the most important fossil discoveries in decades. In God's providence, he ordained a creation scientist to make the accidental discovery. The Calgary Sun, which noticed the irony of last week's discovery, said, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and apparently, he has a pretty ironic sense of humor, too. You have to smile when the greatest fossil discovery in recent Calgary history comes at the end of a backhoe operated by a man known as the greatest promoter of creationism in Alberta. Edgar Nurnberg, who just so happens to be on the board of directors of a creationist museum, and actively lobbies for the inclusion of creationism in Alberta's school curriculum, was digging with a backhoe in Calgary when he made the discovery. Alberta's evolutionary scientists, who are saying it may be one of the most important fossil finds in decades, say the perfectly preserved fish helped to solve an evolutionary puzzle dating back 60 million years. Dr. David Menton, biologist and anatomist from Answers in Genesis, spoke to the Worldview this weekend and explained why the find was so important.
As my friend Ken Hamaw said, if there really was a worldwide flood, you'd expect billions of dead things buried in rock layers deposited by water all over the earth. But what do we in fact see? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers deposited by water all over the earth. The reason evolutionists are interested in these particular five fish is the fossil record in what they consider to be the 60 million year old range. Normally, it wouldn't include these kinds of fish.
God indeed works in mysterious ways, and members of the Sudanese military learned this firsthand from one of God's busiest creatures how true this was. The World View spoke to Ed Lyons of the Persecution Project about the amazing story of how God saved the lives of 20 pastors set for execution.
The North Sudan government sent soldiers in to arrest 20 pastors to kill them. And they had tied them up and they had led them out into a field and they were kneeling on the ground, about to be executed. And then a swarm of wild Sudanese bees just attacked the soldiers. And the soldiers ran away and the pastors just got up and ran.
New laws against so-called hate speech in the United Kingdom paved the way for a street preacher's arrest in Essex. Breitbart reported the incident from last week, where police held Rob Hughes for 11 hours when a lesbian called the police telling them he had made homophobic comments. Evidence proved Hughes had been preaching the good news of Jesus Christ when a woman told Hughes she was, quote, gay and proud, unquote, then shouted, quote, get down off your pedestal, you judgmental blank. Homophobia is not in this town, unquote. Despite the fact Hughes had not even mentioned homosexuality. Hughes was later arrested when the same woman complained to police that he had been using homophobic language. Fortunately for Hughes, he was recording himself as he preached and offered it to the police. Wonder if the UK will adopt laws to protect against Christophobic behaviors? Well, to be honest, I'm not really wondering at all. No doubt they're not. Today is the first day of June, the month of matrimony. A California couple blessed with 70 years of union were honored far and wide, thanks to the efforts of their granddaughter, determined to make their anniversary very special. According to the CNN report, Mary and Richard Arambula were surprised with messages from the who's who of the entertainment and political worlds, at least 150 of them. There were autographed pictures from celebrities, an apostolic blessing from the Pope, a congratulatory message from President Barack Obama and the First Lady, and even a handwritten note from actor George Clooney. Their granddaughter, Belinda Bannister, started reaching out to celebrities and dignitaries in March of 2014 in an effort to make their anniversary memorable. Congratulations to the Arambulas for their 70 years of marriage. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, June 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those important relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. And how you disciple your son has everything to do with building those relationships. Here's an opportunity for you. Don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our Father-Son Retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this September. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions like wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. It all happens September 3rd to the 6th at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, host with you. I am a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, but trying to instill a distinctively Christian worldview with our children, and that's what we do on this program as well. Bill Jack, also in studio with me today. It's his 65th birthday.
Woohoo!
And Bill, you could barely get your walker in here.
I know.
And it made it to the microphone.
Yeah, they say that there are three things that indicate you're really getting old.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The first one is you can't remember anything, and then the second two.
We'll get to that after the break.
Get back to me, maybe.
Yeah,
I'll Google it. Yeah.
Well, Bill, you're in actually very good shape for 65 years of age. A lot of people look at you and go, "I can't believe you're 65."
Yeah, those people.
My wife said that this morning.
You need a trip to the optometrist, my friend. That's what you need.
Well, my kids see you at the gym from time to time. I know you work out and you try to expend every ounce of strength for the sake of the kingdom of God, and I appreciate that about you. All right, well, let's take a look at what's going on in the news, friends. Today we're going to talk about what's happening with the intimidation factor against Christians, and how Christians should stand even when they're faced with the Goliaths that surrounded them. And certainly that is the way it is these days. The New York Times is dancing on the grave of the nuclear family after Ireland becomes the last conservative holdout in the Western world to fall to homosexual marriage last week, and did so with a landslide vote, which means that there is no conservative holdout left.
There is nothing in the Western world as a nation that will still maintain anything of a civilization or a social order by the year 2045. That's pretty much how things are going. But New York Times declares that traditional marriage is absurd. They declare the traditional family model of a wedded mother, father raising children together in the same household as, and quote, absurdity. It's important to note that this was the esteemed New York Times editorial board. This was not some isolated crank. This was the board of the most prestigious newspaper in America. Declared traditional marriage to be an absurdity. And the word absurdity means, well, an absurdity. It means something that is completely out of the ordinary, something that should not even exist. That's the editorial board of the New York Times, now, way off the track.
Who deemed that they are the most prestigious newspaper in the world?
Well,
is it self-proclaimed?
I'm guessing it is, but you know what? They have had that reputation for a long time, Bill.
And they're resting on their laurels is what they're doing, because this is an absurdity. I'm going to declare the New York Times the most prestigious absurd newspaper in America.
Okay, well there you go. And the liberal newspapers are selling out like crazy. They've lost 50% of their ad revenue over the last 10 years. I read that recently, and 200 newspapers sold out last year in the year 2014, which means the New York Times will probably be on the auction block by the year 2016.
Yes. Now, an absurdity, they claim, that marriage is an absurdity means that it's utterly or obviously senseless, illogical, or untrue.
Okay. Well, friends, the grand experiment, the destruction of the traditional family in America, is a grand experiment I don't believe ever repeated in the history of the world. Obviously, Plato thought it would be a good idea to take the footers out of the foundations of human society just to see what would happen. Plato thought that would be a great idea in his humanist tome, The Republic, in which he considered a society in which a man and a woman come together for a temporary liaison. They have a child. The child comes out of the womb, pops into the arms of professionals who take over from there. Thank you very much. And no parent shall know his child, and no child shall know his parent. A quote from The Republic. And finally brought to bear in Rousseau's and Marx's great conception of modern society in the socialist state, in Sweden, America, and for a period of time, the Soviet Union, North Korea, and elsewhere. All right, so the grand experiment of destroying the family. And what are we going to expect? If you take footers out of the foundation of a 65-story skyscraper, Bill, I don't know if you're a civil engineer or not, but what would happen if you were to take the footers, you know, the 20-foot, 60-foot deep
pylons
go down into the dirt. Let's say you take those out. You dig under there and you take them out. What would happen to the 65-story tower if you were to take the footers away from the foundation of the tower?
Well, I'm no civil engineer, but I think something uncivil would happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kaboom. This is reminiscent of B.F. Skinner. B.F. Skinner invented the air conditioner. Did you know that? Now, you're thinking, cooling and heating. No, it's H-E-I-R conditioner. The air conditioner. It was a plastic plexiglass box. And as soon as the baby was born, he said, put the baby into the box and have no human contact with the baby, no physical human contact. Care for the baby, but no physical. Don't cuddle, don't coddle the baby. Mm-hmm. And he actually sold these things. His daughter was raised in this thing. And she says there's no ill side effects. You know, of course not. But this is the absurdity. This is the illogical, senseless, untrue, contrary to reason or common sense, laughably foolish and false conclusion to which the most prestigious newspaper in America has come.
The destruction of the traditional family, of traditional marriage in America has resulted in, of course, over half of kids born outside of wedlock, about half of marriages ending in divorce, and 95% of Americans are confessing to premarital sex on their wedding day, but they don't even get married anymore anyway, about 10 times the shack-up rate that we saw in 1970. So that's the result of the experiment that the liberals have attempted. And, of course, they're very self-consciously enthusiastic about the whole experiment. They haven't seen the results of it. Now, you destroy a socioeconomic system, you're going to destroy the social system and the economic system at the same time. And if you were to do this, if you were to destroy the nuclear family, my guess is you'd wind up with a society with a lot of insanity, probably using more psychotropic drugs than any other nation around the world. Continuing dysfunctionality in family life from generation to generation, and probably the highest prison population in the world by percentage, and that would be the United States of America.
Oh,
yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the experiment. We want to see what's going to happen in the year 2045. You know, cities that have very, very high incidences of riots and arrests and high percentages of their youth in maximum security prisons are the cities in which you have, well, exactly what the New York Times would love to see, and that is almost no traditional marriage, just homosexuality, shack-ups, and lots and lots and lots and lots of single parents. Okay, friends.
So like Baltimore?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cleveland. Or Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah. Oh, so what the New York Times is saying is they're celebrating this absurdity.
They are. Because society has taken a pistol and put it to its head and pulled the trigger. Okay, now when you do that, that's called suicide. That's called killing yourself. Society has killed itself in America.
But you know why? Because an absurdity as a noun is a condition of existing in a meaningless and irrational world. And if you do exist in a meaningless and irrational world, then suicide is the logical conclusion.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you break down sexuality, which has happened with the rising homosexual trend across the country. And that's precisely what is happening with the Boy Scouts. Now, it's interesting.
With the Boy Scouts?
The Boy Scouts. It's interesting that the president of the Boy Scouts, Robert Gates, was the defense secretary in 2010.
Right,
do you know
what
Robert Gates' most important contribution to the military in all of human history was in the year 2010?
Did he change the uniforms?
No, he didn't.
No.
He invited homosexuals to come out of the closet and be a part of the military in 2010. That's a brave new experiment. I don't think it's been accomplished anywhere in human history. Maybe by the Persians, who brought their paramours to battle, and it went really, really bad for them when they fought Alexander the Great. So just that would be an example in history where maybe they tried it for a week. It didn't turn out very well. But Robert Gates, the same guy who's the defense secretary bringing homosexuality into the military, brings homosexuality into the Boy Scouts just last week. Now, as far as I know, they have not invited NAMBLA into the Boy Scouts.
Now, North American Man Boy Love Association,
that's it, yeah,
NAMBLA.
The pedophilia organization.
Right.
As far as we know, now I haven't checked this out, so I need to verify it. As far as I know, they have not encouraged pedophilia at Camp Sandusky in the Boy Scouts at this point. I have not verified this, though.
How dare he? How dare he take God's creation and mar it by putting over God's creation pedophiles and those who are this just people ought to rise up and they ought to Christians need to say Boy Scouts, we're done with you.
Yeah.
I can't believe this, Kevin. My dad was a Boy Scout. My dad revered the Scouts for what they taught him.
Bill, it's just an indication of what's happening with the nation. The nation has committed suicide when it comes to social and sexual expression. They have abandoned rationality. They've destroyed themselves. Now they're destroying the next generation of children. And so I think what we're looking at is the unraveling of entire social system here.
You know, in art, there was a movement called Dadaism. And Dada was a made-up term which meant absurdity. It meant nothing. And the Dadaists said, you know, art is meaningless. Art has nothing to do with anything. And what we need to do is just, we are just, you know, doing the absurd. And it was a statement based on their philosophy. Art leads the culture. As Francis Schaeffer pointed out, art leads the culture. If you want to know where the culture is headed, look at the art that's being produced today. And we're not just talking about art that exists in galleries. We're talking about art, low art, like television shows. And we see the result of that because art leads the culture. Why should we be surprised that the Boy Scouts are inviting homosexuals into leadership when we see on TV a misrepresentation of reality in sitcoms, television shows, dramas? Because there's a homosexuality is celebrated. Now, in television.
Now, some may think that we're exaggerating the case when we connect homosexuality with pedophilia, but that's exactly what the Greeks did. That's exactly what Jeremy Bentham suggested. I have a chapter on Jeremy Bentham and the rise of homosexuality and pedophilia in the modern world in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. You want to know why all the pedophilia? You want to know all why there's so much child abuse going on across this nation and around the world today? Friends, it's because of the sexual revolution of the 1960s. It's because of Jeremy Bentham. It's because of the connection, the solid connection between homosexuality and pedophilia that goes all the way back to the Greeks. So if you sign up for approving of homosexuality, that's the exit ramp into pedophilia. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, and burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, etc.
You know, God gives people over to three things in that passage. The last thing is a depraved mind. They cannot think reasonably, let alone think biblically. And so when the New York Times says that traditional marriage is an absurdity, they have reached the bottom. They have reached that point where God has given them over to a depraved mind. This is irrational thought. This is irrational thinking. It is illogical. It is untrue. It is obviously senseless on the part of the most prestigious newspaper in the world.
Be back in just a moment, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. How do Christians stand against this intimidating homosexual Borg, the press of the modern world against the faith? Be back in just a moment. Why is it that Christian liberal arts colleges always seem to move towards more evolutionary naturalism and anti-supernaturalism, more homosexuality, and more liberalism in general? Even good evangelical Christian schools. Why? Because Christians have forfeited the war of the worldviews in academia and liberal arts. And we will lose each successive generation until we begin to re-engage the war of ideas in the high school and university classrooms. That's why I wrote the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Don't let your family be spoiled by worldly philosophies. Get apostate now on a buy one, get one special. Buy one for you and get one for your son or daughter or grandchild for free. Buy one, get one free now at generationswithvision.com. We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack, also in studio today, as we take a look at what's happening with the world around us.
Hey, Kevin, I'm 65 today.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. I didn't know.
Put your teeth back in. Have we already covered that?
Hey, you know what? One of my heroes of the faith is Caleb in the Old Testament. In fact, our first son's named Caleb.
Yeah.
And you remember Caleb, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and Joshua's the leader? He comes to Joshua and he says, Joshua, give me what was promised to me 45 years ago.
Yeah.
He said it was the hill country. It was the giants that scared them out of the land to begin with, that made him so fearful. And he said, I am 85 today. He said, I'm just as strong as I was when I was 45. Give me the hill country. Yeah. I'm going to take it with my people. Yeah. Everybody stand back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, Caleb is one of my heroes.
Yep. Samuel also, after 80 years of age, does most of his mighty works, including hacking Agag to pieces. Samuel, one of my favorites. Okay, so you've got a ways to go.
Yeah, I do.
15 years before you're really engaging.
Yeah.
the worldview wars.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another important article. Gallup poll found that 23%, I'm sorry, the average American believes that 23% of the population is homosexual.
Oh, excuse me. Something's wrong with the math here. They left out a decimal point, I believe.
And they did.
They did.
They did, yes, by a factor of about 10.
Yes.
According to studies done by the National Health Interview Survey, the number is between 1.5% and 3%.
Yep.
So it's much lower than most Americans think. Most Americans think about 23% of the population is homosexual. And why is that? Because, well...
Because of television?
Yeah, because
of the Wizard.
The Wizard of Oz.
We're off to see the Wizard.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
The Wizard of Oz presents himself to be much more powerful than he really is.
You think?
Oh, yes. Yeah. By a factor of, well, Gallup poll has found out it's about a factor of 10.
10.
And Americans are kowtowing to the 1.5%.
We're quaking in our boots.
We are. As David talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. Americans are afraid.
Yeah.
Now, there was one.
American Christians are afraid.
There was one little guy, David, said to the men who stood by him, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God?" So there was David. But everybody else, all the men of Israel, quaked in their boots over one man.
Yeah.
Over one guy, over the champion, Goliath. And this, I think, is what is happening to America right now. Americans are kowtowing to the homosexual agenda at every single opportunity. And I think the same thing's happening with the Muslims. Here's an example of Muslims demanding that offensive crosses be removed from a Catholic university in Washington. So it's a private university, understand, Bill. And the Muslims are complaining to the Human Rights Office of Washington, D.C., that the Catholic University is posting these crosses and do so in every classroom.
How?
So the Muslims are concerned about these crosses on private property in a private university in Washington, and they say, take them down.
Why can't we all just get along, Kevin?
Now,
come on.
The Muslims make up 1% of the population. 1% of the population. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think they'll get their way?
Probably.
Seems like it.
Because
days.
What we have is the tail wagging the dog in this country.
Why no Davids? No Davids?
You know, that's a great question. You know what I think it is? It's one little word. Fear.
Yeah.
Fear. You know, at Worldview Academy, which I'm getting ready to hit the road for 2 months, Worldview Academy, worldview.org, send your student, best week of your student's life. Worldview Academy, we teach fear versus faith, that we are to fear God. And once you fear the true creator, he removes fear of everything else. And that's where David was. He feared God. He was a man after God's own heart. He feared God, and as a result, he feared nothing else. And that's what we want to raise up. We want to raise up Davids. We want to raise up Calebs. We want to raise up Samuels who fear God, and then they fear nothing else.
A Chinese Christian was talking to us up in Boulder a couple of weeks ago, and he said the problem with America is American Christians is they are paralyzed by their anemia and fear. We're paralyzed by fear. We're incapable of moving ahead because of what we fear. Now, as you've said before, what you fear is what you worship, and it's probable that Americans worship the state. They worship their money. They worship sexuality. They worship materialism. They worship all these things, and they don't worship the true and living God. And therefore, they're afraid of a lawsuit, or they're afraid of being arrested, or they're afraid of saying things that might get them arrested. And that's why they're not going to fear God and take a stand against the powers of evil. And there's no question that Goliath, the Goliath of Gath, the homosexual Borg, is the power and the principality of the demonic world itself. There's no question in my mind whatsoever. Read my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to get the full story on how the demonic world has had some influence upon the minds of 100 million people in America. Yes, that's happened. But we ought not to be afraid. Here's a jeweler in Canada. I want to draw this in before we get on to the next story. A jeweler who made a pair of engagement rings for a lesbian couple in Canada. And the couple came to realize that the jeweler was personally opposed to same-sex marriage. Yet he went ahead and made the rings.
Okay. I mean, because they would demand that he
They're
make the rings.
They're very, very upset with him.
Why are they
They're
upset?
They're very upset.
Why?
Well, it's because...
He made the rings?
Not only do the homosexuals want to be served and want everybody to support their wedding in terms of their rings and their cakes and everything else, but they also want the people doing the work to be enthusiastically supportive of what they're doing. So not only do they want to force us to make their cakes and their rings, but they want to force us to believe in their cause or they will burn you at the stake. That's the homosexual agenda of the present day. That's the present day homosexual inquisition, friends. They want to control your work, your business, and your mind.
Yes.
And
that is ultimate statism.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes.
It is. And of course, the homosexuals have been in support of statism since the Nazis. The Nazis developed their entire movement in gay bars or homosexual bars in Germany in the 1920s. So there's no question about that in terms of history. But anyway, we've got the homosexual fascists.
So what are they doing to this jeweler? What are they saying to the jeweler? Are they demanding that? What is it? What do they want from him? What do they want?
They want their money back.
So they wanted him to make the rings, mm-hmm. and they were pleased with the rings, but they weren't pleased with his attitude.
Yeah.
So they want the money back.
That's right. So if your attitude isn't 100% on board, if you're not enthusiastic about the little homosexual endeavor.
Yeah, so because what he's thinking is a hate crime,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Now his thoughts are a hate crime, not his actions, but his thoughts are a hate crime.
And that's why he needs to burn when it comes to the homosexual. The homosexuals, as they come out of the closet, are going to put the Christians back into the closet. That's the agenda, my friends. And so now the question for us is, how do we address this?
How do we pull the curtains back on the wizards and expose them for what they really are? Nothing more than mere men, because that's what the wizard was. Nothing more than a mere man. And wizards are very adept at using fear to control people. And once you fear the true creator, you have no fear of men. But I think it was Oswald Chambers who put it this way. If you fear God, you will fear nothing else. If you do not fear God, you will fear everything else.
I think we need to bring out God's truth and say, hey, these things are lies. The absurdity is not the traditional family. The absurdity, the absolute absurdity, the insanity.
Is the New York Times.
Is the New York Times.
Yeah.
That's right. Here's a letter from somebody north of the border up in Canada where there's a little bit more pushback. And this family is asking whether or not they ought to involve themselves in protests and whether or not the husband should bring a speech. She says, my husband is very truthful. He's a blunt man. And they're concerned that the government might bring reprecations or sanctions against the family. That's their concern.
Now,
so they're asking
it's on
us.
It's the issue of sex ed curriculum.
Yeah, they're asking us. Simply, should they engage the battle? Should he make a speech at a protest? It's a great question. Great question. Should he take the stand? Now, of course, we cannot answer that question in the ultimate sense because everybody is called by God to different roles and different actions and opportunities in life. So we need to remind them that this needs to be a matter of prayer. They need to seek wisdom themselves. Couple of things. Be careful about putting pearls before swine. Have they heard the message before? Are you beating a dead horse? Is there a portion of the audience that's open to hearing the truth that you're trying to reach? It could be that X percent of the audience is going to reject you. That's certainly the nature of this program. I've gotten pushback from a percentage of the audience, probably 4% of the audience, that just simply can't stand what we're saying. But the other 96%, I believe, needs to hear the message. And I'm trying to reach them. I'm trying to find ways to reach people who will be somewhat open to the message. So if what's your audience? Who are you trying to reach?
And even if they're not open, Kevin, you may nail your theses to the door.
Sure.
And say, here I stand, I can do no more. I mean, Martin Luther was opposed by the church, by powerful people, and he said, here I stand, I can do no more.
There are certain people that are called to that prophetic
yes.
approach, right? John the Baptist and Elijah needed to approach the Herods and the Ahabs of the world, and I think the same thing needs to happen today. These leaders are not going to get away with it, and they certainly need to get the heads up from somebody. It may not be you. It may be somebody else. Question is, are you called to it? Now, we're not going to criticize anybody who eats grasshoppers and walks into the king's courts and says, this is sexual decadence. This is immoral. God will judge you for it. We're not going to condemn anybody who does that. And I think that pastors, spiritual leaders in the church today, need to have a little bit more guts and enter the courts of the most powerful people in the nation and make the statement. They just need to say it.
You know, it's interesting because she asked the question on behalf of her family. She asked this, as a Christian, should we not be fearful and should he stand up and do as God calls and say a speech? Or is it best to be careful and cautious to protect your family and not center yourself out? And the key word there is fearful. The key word is fearful. You know, we can't answer for this man and his family. We can't answer for this man as he takes responsibility for his family, where he lives at this time, at this place. But we can say, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, discipline, and a sound mind. Once you fear the true Creator, He removes fear of everything else. You know, I'm reminded of the history of this nation where we had founding fathers who pledged their lives and their property and their honor for the cause of liberty and freedom. They said, we're willing to give this up. These are men who left their families for 2-3 years or more in defense of liberty. Why? Not because they didn't care for their family. It's because they did care for their family and their family's posterity. So the only thing I can say to this couple is what you've said, and that is, we're not going to answer for you. You answer to God. But we can say, and I can say, do not operate from a position of fear. If you operate from a position of fear, you will lose. You will never win. You must operate from a position of faith.
And we are calling on Christians to be the Davids. We have a conference for any David left in America on November 6th and 7th. It's called the Religious Liberties Conference or the Freedom 2015 Conference. Check it out at freedom2015.org. Our website should be up by now, freedom2015.org. For the Davids left in America who still want to step out and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who should defy the armies of the living God? Yes, Christians still, even to the end, even when they are severely outnumbered, ought to continue to press forward. And I know the temptation is to adopt theological systems that back off, tell Christians, no, you need to be a wimp. You need to back off. You need to separate yourself entirely. I know that there are theological systems in the Reformed world, in other aspects of the Christian community, that just do not want the Davids to show up. But I still believe the Davids ought to show up. Remember, the believing wife sanctifies an unbelieving husband. The salt still matters in the family and in society. We are to correct the fool in his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. We still have an obligation to do that. And I think we have a prophetic role to call the 2016 presidential candidates, the most important leaders in this country, to account. They need to kiss the son lest he be angry and they perish from the way. They need the heads up. That's why the Religious Liberties Conference in Des Moines, 6 weeks before the Iowa primaries. Paul pressed his rights. insisted on his rights in Acts 16. We need to take all lawful measures to preserve our own lives and the lives of others. Think about Esther and Daniel preserving God's people in the civil magistrate when they were slightly outnumbered.
Think of Caleb, 85 years old. He said, give me the mountain. Give me the hill country where the giants live. We need Calebs. We need Davids. We need Calebs to come together at this conference and encourage each other and then plan strategy to take the hill country.
Schedule it in right now, freedom2015.org, November 6th and 7th. Schedule it in now on your calendar. This will be, I think, one of the most important conferences, if not the most important conference we have ever done as a Generations Radio broadcast. I encourage people from around the world to come because we are seeing rising persecution against Christians in Pakistan, Iran, Canada, Kentucky, and Oregon.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, discipline, and a sound mind. Operate from a position of faith, not from a position of fear.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's freedom2015.org. Check it out now, freedom2015.org. And this is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.